Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All righty, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily. What's today? The 3rd of April, 2025. Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. We are live. We are alive as the Flyers will be back in action. And on Saturday night in Montreal, just 6 games remaining on the season. And they will be with Flyers interim head coach Brad Shaw behind the bench. He is going to join us in just a second. I had a chance to catch up with Shaw yesterday. Here's what I'll tell you about this conversation with Brad Shaw. First of all, you're going to learn a lot about Brad Shaw, the man. Now, since he was an assistant coach, we don't get to know the assistant coaches like you get to know a head coach day to day and everything that goes with it through a tenure. We've all heard about Brad Shaw being a great defensive coach and a great teacher. But in this episode, like I said, in this conversation, you'll learn about the man, Brad Shaw. You'll learn about the hockey coach, Brad Shaw. And just as importantly as those two things, you're going to learn about some things about the game and the details, the refinement of the game from Brad Shaw. I love talking to guys like Brad Shaw, especially when it comes to defending. As a goalie, defending determined everything that was in front of me. And it does for every goalie. Environment matters and how the team defends in front of you, off the rush, in forecheck situations, low to high plays, dealing with screens or dead angle shots for rebound, all that stuff. So I love talking to the coaches like Brad Shaw. I learned so much from talking to guys like him. And I'm telling you, you're going to come away from this conversation learning something more than you knew before you heard it. I know I did, and I appreciated talking to him. Real quick, before we get to Shawzy, a couple of programming notes. Coming up tomorrow, we have a couple of interviews for the rest of the week leading up to Saturday's game in Montreal. And the next day, we'll be hearing from Jamie Drysdale. I had a chance to talk to Jamie about his season, about taking the next steps in his development, playing on instinct. And also talk with veteran defenseman Nick Seeler and the importance of finishing this season with dignity and the right way from a teammate standpoint, a team standpoint, and a cultural standpoint. And we're also, in tomorrow's episode, going to hear from Flyers analyst, former NHL goaltender, you know, from the NHL and TNT as well, Brian Boucher, talk about this season, talk about phase two of the rebuild, goaltending, how the Flyers deal with that in the offseason. Do they deal with that? So we got some really good A-plus content for you coming up the remainder of this week. Very proud of it. And we'll get to some email stuff throughout the week as well. There's a particular email from one of our listeners that I want to get to that I think is really important. We'll do that as well. But right now, let's get to our feature conversation of this episode. Flyers head coach, interim head coach, Brad Shaw will be the interim head coach the remainder of this season. Does he want to be a head coach? Well, let's find out. Here's my conversation. Brand new episode of Flyers Daily. Happy to have on the Flyers interim head coach, Brad Shaw, joining us on this episode. Shawzy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Got your feet back under you again?
A little bit, yeah. That first day was crazy. Then coming out of that went into an afternoon game. Didn't have a ton of prep time either. So kind of have it more figured out a little bit now. And, you know, not like we changed a lot, but it's a big difference. Your daily responsibilities as an assistant coach relative to a head coach. So it's getting a little bit more used to that. And, you know, it's been a little bit smoother the last couple of days.
How is it adjusting, you know, mindset from a micro coach? You're coaching a position in D, and you really get into the micro and the finer details of defending and everything that goes with it, to go into that role as more of a macro, as, you know, you're managing everything at that point. And, you know, you got to have your head in all zones and games and preparation and practices and pre-scout and all that stuff. How's that process been in quick order?
Yeah, I gotta remember how to delegate. Gotta remember how to, you know, power, be able to hand some of those responsibilities off. And, you know, I was doing the penalty kill up until last game, and giving that to Daryl Williams. And so, you know, he was mainly working with Mishkov as one of his roles in post-game video work and some of the details that we'd like to see him get better at. So now Angelo Ricci is going to do that. You know, we're kind of a little trickle down effect, but it's there are so many people that you speak to on a normal day, and especially on a game day, an incredibly higher number than you would as a, as an assistant coach, which is mainly the coaching staff and the players. You know, you don't deal with the media, you don't deal with the travel, you don't deal with the trainers not coming in and talking about guys that are maybe nicked up and might be better off being held out of practice. And then you have to change three of your drills because you got one less guy, and now they won't work numerically. And so all of those little wrinkles keep showing up. And, you know, for a guy like Torts, it was like putting his underwear on. You know, he'd been doing it for 20 years. And for me, there's a thought process in almost everything I'm doing. And so it can be a much more exhausting. And so I've tried to get better at it the last couple of days. And, you know, this 4-day break has come at a real opportune time, obviously, so that kind of get our ducks in a row and kind of get things organized for the final six games. You know, we'd all wish we were playing for something besides, you know, it's just a disappointing time of year when you're in our situation. But at the same time, you know, we know that we have to get energy into that room and have these guys feeling good about themselves so that when the season is over, they can, you know, put the necessary effort in to make sure this doesn't happen again.
You want to finish the season with dignity, right? That's a big thing. These are pro athletes, they're competitors. They want to finish it with dignity too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a real unique scenario where, you know, we've won three games and the room is, you can hear it. My desk is right beside the wall to their room. So you can hear them hooting and hollering and playing music and having a great time with it. You know, and the coaches are happy. Then you see the fans, you know, lots of fans are, what are we doing? And why would we win? Yeah. Well, it would be incredibly impossible to go into any NHL room and ask for anything but their best efforts. And these guys are so geared competitively to do everything possible to have success. And so, you know, we're trying to have fun with it. I told the media on day one, it's been 17 or 18 years since I ran a bench and ran a team. And I plan on enjoying these 9 games to the utmost and enjoying the highs and the lows that come with it. And so far it's been mainly highs, and that's great. I expect some lows along the way. That's the nature of the business. But I'm going to, you know, try to stay even keeled as much as I can. I think when I'm doing my best job coaching, I'm pretty centered anyway. So, you know, I've asked for a lot of help from my staff, and they've been great so far. I've asked for a lot of help from the leadership group and from the players as a whole. And I think they've been very patient as well through some of my snafus on the bench. And I'm getting a little more comfortable with each game. And, you know, I'll probably start feeling great right around game 9, and then the season's over. So it's been a great process. I've got a lot of help the last 4 or 5 days, and it's been necessary, and it's going to continue to be necessary through this last couple of weeks.
Somebody asked me, kind of describe Chauncey as a coach, and I described you this way. I said, you're incredibly detailed and very rational. A lot of coaches run on emotion because it's hard not to. And you guys are all competitors too, just like those players. You want to win, and going to the rink when you're winning is a lot more fun. And the music's pumping, and you see the boys having fun, and it rubs off on everybody. But staying that rational guy too, to not let emotion override, is an important element, isn't it? To be who you are.
Well, I think, you know, we're asking our players to play with poise and composure in the midst of chaos at times. And I think I've always had better success, you know, even at my end of the bench with the defense, if I can sort of show that demeanor and lead by example. There's going to be times when you snap and you lose it, and there's breaking points or tipping points in lots of different scenarios. But I've just found that I'm a better coach when I can stay even keeled. It doesn't mean that there's not a fury and anger going on in the background in my brain, but yeah. I just find that I don't usually have positive results when I let that come to the forefront. So, you know, I just found I've had better success that way. I know every coach has their temperature that they like to coach at. Mine would be very different than Torts, and you can go down the line. You name 100 coaches, yep. You're going to find 100 different temperatures, and you have to be yourself. I asked my junior coach, who's in the Hall of Fame, Brian Kilray, when I started coaching. I said, "What's your best advice?" He said, "Be yourself." He said, "If you're not, they're going to see through it in 5 seconds anyway. You're not fooling anybody, so be yourself." And I think I try and stay true to that. I try and be myself. And if that's good enough, that's great. If it's not, I'm fine with that. I realize how fortunate I've been to stay in the game as long as I have. There are hundreds of good coaches out there, and I've been, blessed basically to be in this great league this long, and to work with this caliber of player and athlete has been an absolute privilege. And, I'd like it to last as long as possible. I feel like I'm a good coach, but like I said, I feel like there's hundreds of good coaches. So I try and do the best I can every day. I ask for that same thing from our players. And for the most part, it's been there, in a very trying situation. It's been for all the guys that have left here, especially a guy like Scott Lawton, who's really had his, relationships were deep. Those are hard guys to see leave a locker room. They create a tremendous void at times. And I think we've done a real good job, especially our leadership group, of filling some of those voids and filling the gaps and sort of not just in the room, but on the ice as well. And it's kind of showed in our performance. I think couldn't be prouder of how guys have come together. We've gotten scored on and had incredible responses. I've loved our mental toughness. I've loved our resilience. I've loved our competitive nature, and all that stuff has been a big reason. I mean, you watch Paling and Sealer lay themselves on the line on a one-timer with, a dozen or so seconds left, and you get an indicator of what these points mean to these guys. And I just think it's a great signal of where we're at, what was established here under Torts. And it's been, easy for me to slide in and be the benefactor of all that good work that we did as a staff. And so, we're going to try and continue right till they tell us we're done. Then we're going to keep working as hard as we can, as smart as we can, as long as we can. And I think that's our task, and it's the mandate we've been given, and we're going to do the best we can at it.
I think it's really important too. That's something that travels from season to season. And, a player playing really great at the end of the year doesn't mean he's going to get off to a great start next year. But that mindset travels year to year. That's DNA. I think it's incredibly important to never abandon that. I totally agree with you. Do you want to be a head coach?
Yeah, I've wanted to be a head coach for a long time, but for whatever reason, wasn't considered. Maybe I'm not a prototypical head coach. I've interviewed with a couple teams in the last couple years. And one of the biggest things going against me has been the time that I haven't between actually running a bench and running a team. So, I think that's played against me in some of the recent interviews.
You could kind of get pigeonholed a little bit,
A little bit. And my personality, I'm maybe a little bit different. I don't consider myself laid back. Maybe how you describe me and being rational might be a little more complimentary. I know the game well enough. I think I know the details of the game well enough. Where my shortcomings would be the experience level. I'm at 43 games of head coaching experience in the NHL. It's not a lot. I don't have a I don't have a playoff game under my belt as a head coach. I've also worked with some of the great minds in the game and some of the great head coaches in the game. I've been very blessed that way as well. And so part of what you do as a coach is you rob and you steal and you take the stuff that you know works and you throw out the stuff that you watch not work. And so you can learn a lot by watching other guys make mistakes and or do things exquisitely. And I've seen, the experience I had with Team Europe at the World Cup, 8 years ago now, yeah. It still resonates with me. There are still lessons that I learned in that 5 or 6 weeks that I use them. I learned working with Ken Hitchcock. I learned working with Andy Murray. I learned playing for Joel Quenneville and Larry Plough and guys that, they run the gamut of how you treat a person and how you treat a player, how you run a bench, how you run a team, how you run a meeting, how you get your information across, how you describe things, the words that you use. Every one of these things is vitally important. And what I've tried to do is watch. I've tried to learn, in the midst of the winning and the losing that goes on some other coach's one loss record, I felt like I was a part of it. And when you watch guys lose their jobs like Torts, you have a guilt level there. You're a part of the reason why that guy's no longer coaching. For him, it was tough. I consider him a great friend of mine. Worked 8 years with him. We know each other inside and out, and I think we complement each other extremely well. But it's hard. There's a, it's not a great day to watch that happen.
But it's unfortunately, it happens very quickly in hockey. Too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Within 10 minutes, he walked through the office, said he was fired. And then, I was being offered the interim head coach. So you go from an incredibly low point emotionally, mentally to,
what's in front of me?
Here we go. You're at warp speed instantly and you're, your head's spinning. I think it's probably a little less spinny now. Things are a little bit more settled, but, I don't really anticipate feeling extremely comfortable right through. Like this will be the first road game, which comes with its own challenges. You go into MSG with its own challenges. We've got a back-to-back, which is different again, where you're monitoring time on ice and all that stuff a little bit more throughout those scenarios. So there's with every game there's. For me right now, it's not all new, but it's all kind of reminders of stuff that you've already been through, and you just get to test really how much you've learned and the job you can do and trying to lead these guys to the best performance possible.
Getting all that experience, you mentioned some great names, taking pieces of all of those guys. Sometimes I think you can learn just as much from guys that do things the wrong way as the guys that do the right way. But taking all those and then putting your personal touch on it to develop what you are as a coach, I think is really, really important as well. You've had some guys on your decor under your watch, whether it's Rasmus Ristolainen, I don't think it's going to finish the season, as you said the other day, but really develop. And you look at a guy like Jamie Drysdale, who came in really raw. He's got this incredible ability on his feet to skate, right? And you just go, what, you've got that. I know you got that. If I can just get you to where you need to be, then that's, you're going to be a dynamo. How's it been that process with Jamie? He comes in the middle of the season, which is frenetic already. Yeah. Maybe played a little too much, too young, was dealing with injuries quite often, but he's really hit a rhythm now, Shaws, and he looks like a player to me. It's not thinking, he's playing on instinct now. And I feel like you can see it in his game and his confidence is growing in a tremendous amount as well.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's tough for the guys that have the great motors and the really good feet to realize that, the puck can always move faster than the fastest player. And I think his growth, I've been incredibly impressed with how hard he's worked away from the puck defensively and all that stuff, from our blue line back. But at the end of the day, that's not going to be his strength. And I think that the more he can see the ice, the better he can see the ice, the sooner he can see the ice, the sooner he can decipher which options present the best opportunity for creating advantage, or however you want to word that. There's an efficiency there that he has a lot of room for improvement. And that's the exciting part.
Yeah.
The hard part is steering him down the right path for him to learn to add that to his game, as far as creating offense with his eyes as much as he is with his feet.
Yeah.
And
the feet are just the catalyst. It's the eyes that are, you got to recognize. Yes.
I mean, the eyes always, even for a skater, the eyes find that good ice for you. And so he's used them already. I just think he needs to change the focus, the focal point. So if it was 10 or 15 feet in front of him to find the best ice to skate onto, does it need to be 50 or 80 or 200 feet to find the best puck play? And those are two totally different things. It sounds like it's, well, you're talking about the same thing. It's all his eyes. But to try and change that focal point, it'd be like having an old style camera where you have to turn the lens to get to the focus that you want, as far as how far the picture is. You know, it's a fundamental leap. And, you know, we've talked about it. I think he's an incredibly good young man, like wants dying to learn, to learn.
Oh, you love
and
that.
So those are great guys to work with.
Yeah.
I think he could give himself some slack once in a while. I think he's extremely hard on himself from a self-assessment point of view. And I just think that generates itself from how competitive he is. And so, you know, sometimes that competitiveness can get in its own way. I'm still trying to find the exact right way to help him find that elite offensive game that comes with not just being able to skate the puck to where you need to, but also move the puck. And when you become that double threat, your value goes through the roof. And, you know, we're on our way there. It's a process, like most things in this game. And, you know, we'd like to speed it up as quick as we can. Sometimes you can get in a hurry and get in your own way at the same time. So, you know, it's on its way. I'd love to know when I could tell you when it's going to be fully delivered, and when and if it's going to be fully delivered. But that's the goal. And, you know, you couldn't ask for a better student and a better athlete to work with. And that's sometimes more than half the battle.
Shawzy, sodium pentothal truth serum to you right now. When he goes down and goes to that good ice on the game-winning goal against Nashville, he sees Mishkov go to the middle of the ice and suck in everybody. Because Mishkov goes there, they know he's dangerous. Everything's open to Mish, and everything collapses in. So Jamie goes, I could just stay out here at the point and not have to be accounted for. But look at that beautiful, good ice up there right by the goal. Mish whiffs on the shot. He's there to clean it up. Like, you're saying to yourself on the bench, that's exactly what I want. That's reading it and reacting.
Yes. And I think you create your own breaks in this game.
Yep.
With effort and with diligence and with attention to detail and all the little things that go into a good effort. And I think that ability to sort of let yourself be part of the offense without giving up anything defensively, that's the art of the game. You know, the best player maybe ever was Nick Lidstrom at doing it.
Oh.
Like he seemed to be in the offense when he needed to be and exactly where he needed to be defensively at the same time. And incredible athlete to watch. I never saw him on a daily basis, but I would imagine it was incredible to watch. You know, if we can get even close to that as far as an efficiency level, you know, we're going to really like what we have in Jamie. I think is how much he trusts himself. I think that confidence level definitely has a lot of room to improve. And hopefully he can, you know, cut himself a break here and there on the self-awareness and the self-assessment that, you know, allows himself to get there. And that's sometimes a real tough hurdle. And we're doing everything we can to sort of help him be aware of that and help them get to that final destination.
Yeah, allow yourself to make a mistake too. It's okay.
Yeah, it's a game of mistakes, right? Like it's a there's boatloads every shift, and you know, you tell your guys what's our reaction to the mistake, and if we're really sharp, most of the fans in the stands won't even see most of the mistakes. They won't even recognize them because we're there to support it and cover it up and back our teammate up and to a level that isn't even noticed. And that's the when you get to that level as a team, that's when you're winning games regularly.
That's refinement right there, and it's really important. I look at the steps he's taken so far this year, and I'm really excited about his future. Because he's got those physical tools, and if he can get to that next level, it's just such a big thing to have with a guy that can move the puck and skate like he can on the right side as well. Charlie, I know it's been dizzying for you. I appreciate you taking the time today. Best of luck the rest of this year. 6 to go. You get a little bit of a break to get your feet under you a little bit, but thanks for doing this. I love talking to you because, and I know the audience is going to love it too, because they're going to feel like they learned something today, not only about the man, but about the game. And I love the way you think about it because it's about detail, and the game is the finest details of this game are what matters. And it's what determines the most to me. So I appreciate it. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jason. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks to Brad Shaw for taking the time yesterday to sit down with us, talk some hockey, some philosophical things about the game and more, approach, all of that stuff. What a fascinating discussion that was with Brad Shaw. Really appreciate his time. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed having it. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Also hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube. Hit the notification bell as well and subscribe, and make sure you don't miss any of the content. Again, Jamie Drysdale coming up tomorrow along with Brian Boucher, and also Nick Seeler coming up this week, as well as the Flyers will be back in action coming up Saturday in Montreal. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a brand new Flyers Daily.